We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'll never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey. Double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hop Hall of Fame for dirt. We love you with a deep reverence.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Hi, I'm Kyrie Irving.
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
They waiting on my fall off. I'll never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey. Double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hall of Fame for dirt. We love you with a deep reverence. Backcourt nasty. I wonder who gon' check him. Cuban did his thing when he went and got number 11. I still got his picture on my wall at 707. Feel synonymous with Kyrie, how we both train with aggression. Competition obsolete, trying to breathe life into my dreams. I'm so tired of sleep, still got some work from last season that was incomplete. So hungry for redemption, thank my boys, that's my overeat. Like Luka with his three, if I'm hit, my mic is prone to overheat. I pride myself the most, I'm 22 and my folks proud of me. I took the hard way since I was 10. It was no surprise to me. A step back mass blowing up was no surprise to me. And I'm speaking honestly.
Seven.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. You can find me on Twitter at Dalton_Trigg. You can find the pod account at Step Back Mavs. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Leave us comments. Leave us your takes in those YouTube video comments. We like to hear from you. We like to hear, you know, different takes, you know, aside from what we think happened in certain games and, you know, what we think is going to happen going forward. So be sure to let your voice be heard and, you know, go in there and let us know about it. We'll see it. And if it's something that, you know, we feel like is warranted, for bringing up on a upcoming pod, you could end up having one of those comments end up as a main discussion topic, you know, when I have my guy Drew Johnson or Grant Afseth on here. So be sure to do that. Guys, coming off a 4-game win streak, the Mavs were shorthanded on the second night of a back-to-back on Thursday night against the top team, or arguably the top team in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Luka Doncic did not play. He had some hamstring soreness in that win over the Golden State Warriors on Wednesday night. So he did not play. He didn't make the trip to Oklahoma City. So there was no Luka versus Shai MVP battle for people to argue about online. But the Mavs, they still put up a very good fight. Even though it was a loss, they ended up losing 126 to 119. Kyrie Irving was spectacular, had 36 points, 12 assists, 4 rebounds. He had 2 steals. He shot 12 of 18 from the field and 4 of 7 from 3. I would argue that Irving didn't shoot enough going down the stretch. You know, there was one point where the Mavs were trying to cut the deficit to 3. They were down 6. They were trying to cut it to 3. There was about 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, and Irving attempted a 3, and it airballed and went out of bounds. And after that happened, it seemed like, you know, he just wasn't looking to shoot as much when he probably should have. I mean, I get it. He missed a shot, but, you know, he probably should have just kept gunning at that particular point in the game, especially since, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr., as good as he was in that game, he ended up with 23 points and shot 8 of 13 overall. 5 of 9 from 3 was a team high by far, plus 13 on the night. So a good night from THJ. You know, he had missed his last couple of shots. PJ Washington, if he even had a decent game in Oklahoma City, the Mavs probably win that game even without Luka, but it just was not PJ Washington's night. He was solid on the defensive end, but, you know, he got baited into a couple of fouls by SGA. In 36 minutes, he went 1 of 11 from the field, 0 of 7 from 3. He did get to the line 8 times. He only went 4 of 8 from the line, had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 turnovers. And he was still plus 1 because, again, you know, his defense was pretty solid aside from the few times he got baited into fouling SGA. So, it's a loss. I mean, it ends the 4-game win streak for the Mavs. They're now 9 games over 500 at 38-29. They had temporarily moved up to 7th because the Phoenix Suns lost to the Boston Celtics before the Mavs played the Thunder. But with the loss, they're still a half game behind the Suns now. And, you know, they're still on the heels of the Sacramento Kings and the New Orleans Pelicans. And look, y'all, I know we have talked about the Mavs potentially catching the Suns because they already own the tiebreaker against them, and the Kings because, you know, they're down 0-1 in that season series, but they still play 2 more games later this month against the Kings. But I'm looking at the Pelicans, and I don't know if you guys have looked at their schedule down the final stretch of this season, but it is brutal. We've talked about Phoenix having like the toughest schedule to end the year, but I mean, the Pelicans have to be right up there with the Suns as far as what they've got to close out this year. And I could definitely see the Pelicans, you know, eventually falling out of the playoff range and into the play-in tournament range. So that's something we need to keep an eye on. A lot of tough games for the Pels coming up. Luka and his hamstring, we'll keep an eye on it, but Jason Kidd said that, you know, the results came back. They were great. They were clean. So nothing major there. It's just a matter of, you know, how he's feeling Sunday when the Mavs take on the Denver Nuggets. So Luka will have had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and half of Sunday because it's a 2 p.m. start time. So he's going to have like 3.5 days of rest since that Golden State Warriors win before he takes on Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets, which I'm actually heading out to Dallas here in a few minutes. Not going for work. I might write something, you know, on that game itself since I'm actually going to be at it. But, you know, I'm actually just getting away for a little bit. You're not going to see me as much on Twitter the next several days. You're not going to see, you know, much podcast action. Or DallasBasketball.com is still going to be popping because Grant Afseth and the other guys, they're still going to be churning out stuff over there. But I'm taking a little bit of time to recharge the batteries. And then when I come back, you know, we'll be set for this last stretch of the season run toward the playoffs. So, but before we get into, you know, the Mavs playing the Nuggets this weekend and what's beyond that, you know, the immediate future here and some other takeaways, that some positive takeaways from that Thunder game, I want to tell you guys about Prize Picks, because you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for the playoffs, home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments at this time of the year. So get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. Again, it's America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your latest hoops knowledge into serious cash. And guys, if you download the app today and use promo code STEPBACK, you can get up to $100 matched on your first deposit. So you know, if you deposit the full max $100 there, you know, you could get you're going to have $200 in your account to play with. So be sure to do that. I'm looking at the slates tonight. I'm sticking with the points plus rebounds plus assists for my three picks today. Miami versus Detroit. Miami's very good defensively. Detroit, one of the worst teams in the league, but Cade Cunningham's been playing good, you know, individually at least. So 34.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. I'm taking the over for Cade. I mean, I know Miami's great defensively, but I feel like he can still get his, and the Pistons could still end up getting trounced by the Heat. So taking the over on Cunningham there. Jimmy Butler, 33.5. I'm taking the under because I don't feel like the Heat are going to be playing Butler a lot in this game, because it's going to end up being a blowout. I don't think Detroit's going to challenge Miami much. And I think Butler, I don't think he's going to have to reach that mark tonight for Miami to win. So I think this is more of like a he's benched and doesn't play in the fourth quarter because he doesn't have to kind of thing. All right, let's move on to another game here. Paolo Banchero, when the Magic take on the Toronto Raptors, it's 35.5 for points, rebounds, assists. I'm also going to take the over there. So we'll see how that goes. I love Paolo Banchero. He wears Luka's shoes. He's a rising superstar. Been great for Jamal Mosley, who just signed a new 4-year contract extension with the Magic. Well deserved for him. I like everything about that kid, and he seems like he's a pro's pro already, even though he's so young. And I think the sky's the limit for him. And I'm taking that over for Paolo Banchero versus Toronto. And one bonus one, because I didn't realize until just now that the Pelicans were playing the Clippers. So the Clippers could really do the Mavs a solid and help them inch closer to the Pelicans tonight with a win over the Clippers could help the Mavs inch closer to the Pelicans with a win over the Pelicans tonight. There we go. but Brandon Ingram, his points plus rebounds plus assists is 30.5. That's tough. I'm going to take the under on that. And I'm going to hope that the Clippers take down the Pelicans. And by Brandon Ingram hitting that under, it contributes to that result. So that's what we're going to work on there. That's what we're going to work with and hope for there. So again, guys, download the app, use promo code STEPBACK for a first deposit match of up to $100. Okay, so looking at the Mavs schedule going forward, again, they have a couple days off. They'll take on the Denver Nuggets. So, you know, kind of a tough 2-game stretch here where they had to play, the second best team. They're first in the West right now, but I think they're really the second best team in the league, and the Oklahoma City Thunder on the second night of a back-to-back. Now you play the best team in the West and the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, on Sunday. And it's a 2:30 start. Luka, I would expect Luka to play in this one. I'm not going to speculate on how bad his injury might be. I don't think it's that serious, though. I think he'll be playing versus Denver because that's a huge game. And look, if the Mavs can pull out a win.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over Denver, the next three games are going to be huge for this team because they play at San Antonio. You know, even though Victor Wembanyama is a nightmare sometimes to guard, they should still definitely win that game because, I mean, the Spurs are tanking. So you play the Spurs at San Antonio, then you come back home, and that's on a Tuesday. So Sunday you play the Nuggets, have a day off. Tuesday you play at San Antonio, not a long road trip, should beat them, tanking team, whatever. You come back home. Thursday you play the Utah Jazz, another team that's, you know, not going to make the postseason. You should beat them. And then you have Friday off, you have Saturday off, you have Sunday off, and you come back that Monday and play at Utah, the same team that you should have beaten on Thursday. So that three-game stretch after this Denver game is potentially three consecutive wins if the Mavs handle their business and nobody gets injured, like if Luka's injury isn't that big of a deal. So if they can sneak one out against Denver, they could potentially be riding, you know, a four-game win streak going into a very important two-game stretch against the Sacramento Kings, because March 26th, they play the Kings at Sacramento. It's on the second night of a back-to-back after they play at Utah. So we'll have to see, you know, where the Mavs are in the standings, and maybe, you know, do they decide to rest Luka or Kyrie, or maybe or both? You know, what do they decide to do based on where the standings are at with that Utah game? You know, do they think they can win while resting one of those guys in Utah, and then you have a fully rested Luka or Kyrie going into that very important game at Sacramento on the second night of a back-to-back? Or do you go full throttle in that Utah game, and then just whatever happens in the Sacramento game? Because, you know, even if you lose one of those Sacramento games, you can still make it up by winning the next one. But the thing is, if you lose one, you lose the season series and the tiebreaker, which is huge. So, you know, the Mavs need to win both of those Sacramento games on the road, which is a very, very tall task, but it's what needs to happen if they want to, you know, inch closer to assuring themselves a playoff spot, because they already have the tiebreaker against Phoenix. Phoenix has a very tough schedule down the stretch. The Sacramento Kings schedule down the stretch isn't that bad, but they could still slip up here and there. But any tiebreakers you can get will be very important. The Mavs and Pelicans tied their season series 2-2, so that would be a little bit more complex with the tiebreakers there. But very important stretch coming up here for the Mavs. The next six games are going to be, you know, pretty brutal. But then, well, not brutal, crucial. The Denver game might be brutal. We hope not. We hope not. We hope PJ Washington breaks out of his slump and has a very big game in that one, along with Luka coming back. But then got to win the three after that. Hopefully you win the two Sacramento games. At the very least, you know, at least win one, because even if you lose the tiebreaker, you know, you don't lose a full game plus in the standings after that. So at least, you know, win one of them. And then after that, you have a stretch where you play Houston, Golden State, Atlanta, Golden State, Houston, Charlotte. And then you finish at Miami versus Detroit. And then the last game of the season at Oklahoma City, where, you know, the Thunder might be resting their guys because they'll probably have stuff clinched by then, you would think. So not a super tough ending stretch for the Mavs schedule-wise. They just have to handle business. And it would have been great to have snuck one out against Oklahoma City on Thursday night, but it just wasn't in the cards. They were very competitive. They had their chances. Daniel Gafford, by the way, I mean, we didn't even talk about Gafford, but, you know, he came into the game with 33 consecutive made field goals, which is second all-time, only to Wilt, and he passed Wilt, who was second all-time. And then Wilt also had the number one record at 35 consecutive made field goals. So Gafford came into the OKC game just needing to make his first three shots to pass Wilt Chamberlain, which is insane. Like, I don't care about the context around, like, oh, well, he's playing with Luka and it's all just dunks. And well, I mean, what do you think Wilt Chamberlain was doing? You think he was, you think Wilt Chamberlain was, you know, shooting mid-range shots or from three-point range that didn't even exist at that time? When he set that record, no, it was the same stuff. So, but anyway, you know, Gafford didn't get it. He ended up missing his first shot attempt of the night, and that ended all the drama. And he said after the game that SGA kind of jinxed him because he asked him if he was going to break the record against him coming into that game. he didn't get it, but a great run by Gafford, who is now second all-time in consecutive made field goals. And he ended last night with 19 points, 15 rebounds, and a block in 26 minutes, went 8 of 11 from the field, had 6 offensive rebounds out of those 15 total. So really good stuff from Gafford. I would argue that he should have played more, honestly. And the Kleba thing is really confusing to me because he finished the game while Gafford and Lively both sat on the bench. Look, I understand about the guarding in space stuff on the perimeter. And, you know, Kidd keeps talking about spacing the floor with a big that can shoot. Maxey didn't do anything last night. I mean, he was a non-factor. He had 3 points. He only shot 2 times. He was 1 of 2. He missed his only 3-point attempt, only had 2 rebounds, and he was a -6 in 21 minutes. And then you have Lively, who's coming off the bench now. He was 2 of 3, had 4 points, 2 rebounds, only played 14 minutes. I would rather take my chances with Lively doing something impactful down the stretch than I would with, you know, an older Maxey Kleba, who, let's be honest, even though he has his moments, he should be used more as an, you know, break glass in case of emergency kind of guy. It needs to, you know, Kidd needs to commit to a full 48 minutes of either Gafford or Lively on the court. And if you want to throw Maxey in there with one of them, fine, do it. But you can't, I don't think Kidd can go stretches of games without either Lively or Gafford on the court. They're too important. There's too much potential for something good to happen with them on the floor. So he's got to get that figured out. You can't have those stretches where you just have Maxey out there trying to anchor everything. And, you know, it just didn't work for him down the stretch. But anyway, guys, appreciate y'all coming in here and listening to me ramble for a little bit. Like I said, I'm going to be in Dallas. I'm going to be at that Mavs Nuggets game. If you see me, shout at me. I'll be glad to talk with some of you guys. That usually happens every time we go to those games out there. You know, I end up talking to several people, and I just love I love meeting people who I've either interacted with on Twitter or, you know, people that have followed the pod for a long time. And, you know, it's good to actually meet people face to face and, you know, talk with them a little bit. So if you see me, let me know. Don't be shy. I love to talk to people who have kept up with this stuff over the years. So guys, appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Have a great weekend. Have a great stress-free weekend with no Mavs basketball until Sunday afternoon. And we will see you next time. I'll be back on here probably Monday. If not Monday, if I can't do it Monday, it'll probably be around Wednesday next week. But we'll see. Guys, appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.